Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
In the early 1960s, Helen Lieberman and other courageous activists responded to the unjust conditions of South African apartheid by setting up survival initiatives in the Western Cape. Over the decades, this work expanded in many different fields, including early childhood development, disability care, foster homes, shelters, elderly care, economic empowerment, food security, and youth development. In 1992, this organic growth and the coordination of initiatives was formalized and Ikamva Labantu, meaning Future of the People, was launched. I'm delighted to have Helen Lieberman as my guest now to tell me about her journey in this remarkable organization. Helen, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Helen, as we kind of celebrate iconic South African names and people, you are most certainly one of them. Tell me a little bit about what it was like in the 60s starting these initiatives.
Well, I was unaware. I was not politically aware at all. And it was following a patient. I was a speech therapist at Kritzkia Hospital. And I didn't even understand what it meant to be given the black section, to be given the segregated post. And it was going in to find certain patients that didn't seem to respond or didn't seem to keep appointments, not understanding that things were so difficult for the young mothers with no transport, only a black bus sometimes and a white bus often, and all the obstacles that were in their way. And I cared about the patients, and I knew certain patients' lives were threatened by the fact that they couldn't receive the treatment that they needed. And then I found the townships, and I could not believe how people were living. I could not believe the circumstances, the horror of the poverty and the fear and the police and the army and the police dogs. It shocked me to the core, and I decided that after work each day, I'd find somebody and see how I could help them, especially seeing that there was no care for children, no childcare, no assistance for children with disabilities or challenges, and I was trained in that, and then finding the very terrible conditions of seniors with no facilities for any senior and no grant for them, the extreme poverty, the extreme suffering. And so I found other people. It wasn't just me on my own. I met with, first of all, I was challenged. What are you doing here? You're going to do like all other white people do. You're going to come in and you're going to promise us and then you're going to just leave us, or you're going to give us something and then you're going to take it away, such as a sewing machine or whatever. So I quickly learned the rules of the game, and I didn't feel that I'd ever want to take anything away from anybody. I had no idea of what I was letting myself in for, and I certainly wasn't thinking of creating an organization. But things just developed, and I got drawn in by the wonder and the dedication and the power of the women, and there were men too, and what each was doing for each other. Whereas in our lives, in my community, there was assistance, but there was nothing like this type of total selflessness, total care for the other. And it really got to me, and I wanted to go back every day to be part of this. And I didn't realize how this would develop, which it did. And so over the years, people came from all over the country and asked for assistance. And I found myself going all over the country. I forgot about family. I forgot about my friends. It was something that engulfed me totally, mainly because the injustice of the situation was horrible to me, and also the wonder of the people. And so I see it till today. You know, things are tough and rough. We do have freedom. We don't have economic freedom. We don't have housing. We have many, many terrible things that our people still suffer. And so Ikamva tries to address those. And in 1992, the people themselves called all of those that were working together not the country ones. They brought some down from the country, and we met in an open field. We had no facilities. We had no buildings. We had nothing. And we met in a field with the wind and the sand. And we had some loudspeakers, which didn't really work well. And it was decided to form an organization called Ikhambela Bantu, because they felt this would be the future of the people and the example for others. And they took a position. I remained the volunteer, which I am till today. And one or two of them became the chairman and the non-chairman and the secretary. And so I've remained, and it's been my direction, and it's been my whole life. It's taught me so much. It's made me so aware of humanity and the goodness. And that's what it's about. It's about harnessing the goodness and the energy, the creativeness and the wisdom of the other. And with that, creating something. And that's what we do till today. I still remain the volunteer. I have a wonderful organization with 120 people who are all, you know, salaried. We work very hard to maintain it. We are very much on the ground. We keep our ears open. We constantly understand the need for change because of the world that's changing. We're sensitive to people's issues, and we follow their direction. And the management is just exemplary. And at the moment, what I'm doing is I work when I'm asked to work or told I can be, because I want to empower and I want to know that what I leave behind is fully self-sufficient. And so what I'm doing now is just putting together all the artifacts and history of Ikhamba. And we're creating a place of memory and a place of hope for the future. And it's called a place of hope because human spirit and human endeavor can get together, and we can change things, and we can build a better world.
Sure, that's so incredible, Helen. Just very quickly, from the challenge you had in the 1960s compared to the challenges you have today, what is the difference?
The difference for me is I'm a little bit impetuous, and I say it as it is. And I have to watch how I push, how my wishes and my thinking may not be in accordance to what's right for community or for the capacity of community. Not talking about their abilities, but things are very hard. And daily I see the poverty and the struggles and how one has to look further. Why are men so violent? Why is their gender-based violence? What is the society geared to within the culture of the patriarchal? We have a patriarchal religion, and you know, if you look at everything within our Torah and our teachings, there are very few women that take prominence and make the decisions or held as the people who can do things better than others. And very few women, they lauded as mothers and as homemakers. But really, if you look at that and you look at how men in our society are dehumanized by the fact that they're, as a legacy of apartheid, so many of them are non-qualified or are living in conditions where they cannot be creative and see that there's a gap. Let me try that. I have no money. Let me walk along this path and see who would work with me and how, with almost nothing, we can create something. So I do a lot of that. I meet a lot and I work in the streets with now, when I'm allowed to, by my organization and especially my family, with youth who are creative and who can do it. And there are gaps and there is a way of finding what can be done with nothing to create a powerful something. So we have to look at South Africa. We have to understand what's gone on in this country, which I think we do. of all the corruption and what's happened to this country that has knocked this country right to where it is, and that hopefully one prays harder for the power of the unity of everybody to fix the government of national unity, which I still have a hope will happen. But, you know, one of the things that I think is very important, and it causes an isolation of me from many of the people that I meet and I mix with. So, unfortunately, people know of what's been done. And if I'd go down the road, or if I'd go into a shopping center or wherever I go, people either stay away and don't come near me or greet me in a very funny way, or they'll let me know that I can't do what you've done and you know, you've caused problems for all of us, because what you've done, you've created expectations and it doesn't work for any of us. We aren't made like you and we want to just survive. And often my answer is as gentle as I can, but you can, you know. Just one thing. Ask your maid if you have, do you have domestic help? Yes, of course I have domestic help. I pay them. It's not about even what you pay them. It's about the respectful interaction. When they come in, do you understand what it's taken for a domestic person to come, to stand at the bus stop at 4 o'clock in the morning, to get their bus, to get their taxi, to get into town, to get three taxis, to get to your home, wherever you are, to see to their children on nothing, to live in a makeshift dwelling, to have other children that they all take in and care for. Do you understand their fatigue, their worry? They have the same wishes for their families as we do. Do you sit them down with a cup of coffee and talk, and maybe find one small solution where the two of you can share a bond, to be interested in the children, their children. To say, let's see, do you need school shoes? Let's see by the end of the month if I can afford it and your child will need it. Let's get him a pair. Let's take him to choose his shoes. And let me meet your children. Let me come to your home. Let's be people together. And that's, to me, a Jewish way of doing it. That's my Jewish living. So, it's how we live with our fellow human being, even with our own Jewish community. How involved are we? Yes, we all, I think, contribute to all the Jewish charities, but there's more than money. It's not about money. It's about yourself and your own interest and outreach and care. It's about the kindness. It's about who we should be as Jewish people. And now with the big problem we have, which is in our hearts, very much in our hearts, with what's going on in our lives, there's a way that we should, I think, participate with our fellow human beings and show a sensitivity and hear and listen and support wherever we can, wherever our inners direct us.
Mm-hmm. And on that incredibly beautiful note, thank you so much for joining me. The legacy that you are working on is really incredible, and well done. Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me these few minutes. Thank you so much.
That was Helen Lieberman, and she is the founder of Ikamva Labantu, which is revolutionizing Cape Town.